He said, does God keep people preaching for him? Hey, better go and read your Bible well. He almost killed Moses. Now God saved Moses. That is God who wanted to kill Moses. Now he saved Moses. Uzzah touched the ark. God killed Uzzah. That one, he didn't even waste time. As soon as Uzzah touched the ark, he died. Even though, why was he touching the ark? So that the ark would not fall. Some things we think we are doing for the sake of God. God said, you are not doing it for me. You are doing it because he deceived you that only priests and ministers are only priests and clergymen are ministers. They did not tell you that ministry is not only about preaching the gospel, it's also about helping the poor. And helping the poor is not just about handing out money, it's by creating opportunities for them to help themselves. Some of us have earned salaries long enough. God said, the one you have saved up, now go and sit down there and start a block industry. You see? Block industry, yes. Because if you start a block industry, the tipper man will see where to carry sand to. The boys who are laying the block, they will walk. At the end of the day, at least 5 people will be eating. And you will make some profit. After a while, say, oh yeah, open a maize farm, be farming corn, or a corn processing industry. Start something. Why? Because if you start it, you help the society and people will come there and work. Open a school, God says. One, you help the society and you give work to people. He says it's a ministry. If you don't do it, you will have failed in the assignment I gave for your life. The problem is that a lot of times people think it's just about money. It is about them. God says, no, it is not about you. It is a ministry. As I close, let me talk about the giving ministry. It's very important. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. I've said many things. We can't develop all of them in details. So we just say things here and there. And I hope that many of the materials we brought, you will take advantage of them or go to our website, download materials, and listen to these things. The book of Romans chapter 12. Listen, riches for a Christian is not what the world thinks of. The one we are describing is to do the will of God. Poverty is not the plan of God. Somebody say amen. There's a message I have, so maybe I'll copy it for you. I don't know whether you have it. Andrew Womack's Getting God's Best. I've listened to many Andrew Womack messages. I don't think he preached anything like that one. I'll copy it for you before I go now. Fantastic teaching. Oh, I've listened to that message too many times. I don't know how many times. I'm always listening to it. The man challenges you to go out for God's best. What am I referring to the message? Somewhere he talked about the difference between a blessing and a miracle. The difference between a blessing and a miracle. Let me give you a few differences. What's a miracle? Of course, we know what a miracle is. It's when God sets apart the natural order of things and just does something fantastic for you to help you, something supernatural. For example, you're hungry, manna falls from heaven. You bring out a basket and catch bread and fish as it's falling down. You're hungry. You just get to the house of a widow and tell the widow, thus says the Lord. And the widow brings out food and the food never finishes. You're hungry. You're sitting down. Ravens come, like they did for Elijah, and they bring you food. Those are miracles. And in our lives, we'll experience miracles. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Miracles have blessed me before. But, Andrew Womack said, miracles are inferior to blessing. That which one is better? For you to pray to God, God, I need a car. Every morning you wake up in the name of Jesus, I receive the car in the name of Jesus. And then suddenly, somebody comes to you and says, you look like you need a car. The Lord said I should give you a car after 6 months of praying. He said, which one is better? Instead of praying for 6 months, you get up in the morning, go to the car shop. I say, how much is that one? He said, 6.5 million. What about that one? That one is special edition. It's 7.2. What about that one? This one is higher up. It's 8.5. You turn to your wife. Which one do you prefer? Your wife said, I think the one that's higher up. You give them a check for 8.5. They drive the car to your house. He said, which one do you prefer? A miracle. 6 months. You're waiting in the name of Jesus. Then this one, just go to the shop. You point to it. You use your prayer for other things. He said, this second one is a blessing. A blessed man doesn't pray for those miracles that people who are not blessed pray for. And the woman said, as a young preacher, he was very poor. He saw a lot of miracles. There was a time he drove his car. The car stopped because the fuel finished. He prayed over the car. The car started again. And he drove it for a week or two without buying fuel. He said that was a miracle. He said, but now he doesn't need such miracles. He buys any fuel he wants anytime. He said there was a time his car spoiled. The engine cracked. Engine block cracked. He drove it like that for weeks because he couldn't repair it. Wake up in the morning, declare in the name of Jesus, I command the car to walk. And the car will respond. He said, but now, does it do that? He said, no. He said, one day he prayed and said to the Lord, Lord, I've not seen a miracle in a long time. And God said, which one do you want? Should I take you back to the days of your miracles? He said, no, Lord, leave me here. I like it like this. Because now, engine block break in the car. Why? Every once in a while, he will go to the car shop and change the car, buy another one. Why? He now has the money. He said, that is a blessing. You can be sick, and then suddenly a miracle, you get healed. He said, that is good. He said, what about the one in which you never fall sick anyway? He said, a blessing normally brings you abundance. A miracle just helps you to manage. Nobody with a miracle can be sharing with his neighbor. The miracle is just enough for you. But a blessing brings what? Abundance. He said, a miracle is not dependable. You are not sure of when it will come. But a blessing, you know it's there. You wake up in the morning, you know there's money coming in. You know your business are doing well. You know your investments are returning good returns. Why? Because God has blessed them. So somebody comes to you one day and says, I don't have a car. We are trying to do something. Okay, take this one. It drives your car away. You phone the car shop. So the new model Camry, do you guys have it yet? He said, yes, sir. Please bring one to my house tomorrow. There's a story I'd like to tell. One man is a Nigerian, one of these big industrialists. They said one day, armed robbers snatched a big Jeep, a Land Cruiser, from his driver. The driver ran home. Hey, daddy. They said, what happened? Shh, daddy's sleeping. What happened? He said, armed robbers, they took the Jeep. So the people in the house said, you want to wake daddy up because of Jeep? He will sack you now. So just shut your mouth. That the man finds it hard to sleep. So he considers his sleep more valuable than a 14 million naira car. So when he woke up, they told him that the driver went out, armed robbers collected it. He said, okay, where did we buy it from again? Ask them whether they have another one. There are those who come to church and testify. Praise the Lord. The armed robbers took the car. But in Jesus' name, by the end of the second month, police found it. They spoiled it, but we have now repaired it. It's a good testimony, isn't it? It's a good testimony. However, I prefer the other man's testimony. And the woman said, that is a blessing. A blessing is abundant. And that's what I'm praying that you will receive. That's what I pray that you will walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let me not forget. Let me copy the messages for you. Fantastic messages. Five of them. Andrew Womack on getting God's best. The book of Romans chapter 12. Listen, once we open our hearts to these truths, prosperity will come into our life. The book of Romans chapter 12. I want to say something briefly about how Christians are supposed to give and the ministry of giving. Now, if you read from verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. He said, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function. All right, so he says, so we who are many, that's verse 5, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. He said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. That is, each person has a gift, and he will discover his gift by his grace. And once you've discovered your gift, exercise it. He now said, some have the gifts. I'm going to summarize, please. He said, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, that is, some have the gift of prophecy. If service in his serving, that is, exercise your gift accordingly. Exercise it in the proportion of your faith. Some can teach, some exhort, some give. Verse 8, notice that. He said, he who gives, let him give with liberality in exercising his gift according to the proportion of his faith. He now said, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is good, cling. Abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Let me stop here. Why did I read this? There are two things I want to say quickly. Notice that he said that all of us have what? Gifts. Let me explain something what the gift of God is. People sometimes make the mistake. The gift of God is not the food of God. Something to eat. The gift of God is an office that you occupy. Go and read the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He said he ascended on high. He gave what? Gifts unto men. And what are the gifts? Some are apostles, some are prophets, some evangelists, some are pastors and teachers. And he called them what? Gifts. In the same manner, I say each one has a gift. What is the gift? It is the assignment you are supposed to perform in your life. The ministry you are supposed to use in serving people. That is what the gift is that he's talking about. Now, please follow this. He now said, how do you know your gift? You will discover a grace. What is grace? Grace is divine enablement to work, right? That is, you will discover something that you have an enablement to do that other people are not as enabled to do as you are. He said, once you discover that thing, do exercise yourself in it. What does that mean? One day, I discovered that I had the ability to teach the word of God. I remember one of our brothers, he traveled, left school for some, that he traveled abroad. When he came back, he came to fellowship and he saw me. He said, Banky has changed. What was he saying? That the fluency with which I speak the word now is not the same as it was before he left. I discovered it. I discovered that once I start talking, those who love the word of God, they get captivated and they listen. This was when I was a student. I didn't need anybody to tell me now that that is the grace that I have. So what did I begin to do? Without even understanding this scripture, I began to exercise it. And that's how come I'm here today. Now, I'm going somewhere. We're talking about prosperity, all right? So, we're talking about prosperity. We're talking about giving. As you can see in that context, just like he said, there is he that teaches, there is he that prophesies. He also says what? There is he that does what? That gives. That is, there is a special ministry, therefore, for a giver. Let me explain that again. Let me ask you a question. Should every Christian be able to teach somebody? Yes. Okay. Some say yes, some say no. Yes. The answer actually is yes, to certain degrees. Paul advocated that each person should have enough knowledge of his faith to be able to encourage somebody else. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, it said when you are supposed to be teachers, you still need somebody to teach you. So you see, every Christian should be able to teach somebody. But the no answer is this. Is everybody therefore a teacher? No. Does everybody therefore have the gift of teaching? No. No, the gift of teaching? No. But everybody should have some ability to teach. Should everybody be able to do administration to some level? Yes, you have to run your home. You have to run your own businesses. But then you see, there is a service that is called administration. I'm using different words in other translations, which some people have the special gift for. If you ever heard, in fact, there's what is called the Ministry of Helps. If you read this man's book, The Happiest People on Earth, Demo Shakarian, he will say that is his own ministry. He just knows how to organize things. But not everybody has that ministry, even though all of us can do it to some level. In the same manner, listen to this, every Christian can give. Somebody say amen. Let me even talk about that briefly when it comes to giving for every Christian. The problem we have in today's Christianity is that we preachers have taught Christians that their giving is so that they can get from God. So Christians give very selfishly and God is not happy with it. Everything they give, they are trying to multiply it back. But it's not true. The truth is that the Bible says that anything that God gives you, you need the receipt for the sower and there's bread for food. That is, God sends you money and he says in this money, there is a portion of it you give out, there is a portion of it you eat. If you fulfill the giving of the portion of it that you're supposed to give out, you have just done your job. You do not require any special commendation. Does God multiply your seed? Yes, he does. But he only multiplies your seed so you can sow some more. The reward of feeding one person in the eyes of God is to be able to feed 100. So if you feed a hungry man today, if God wants to reward you, he sends you 100 hungry people. That's your reward. And what does that mean? He will give you the ability to feed 100. Some people now misinterpret saying, my seed is yielding. No, your seed is not yielding. You are proving faithful. And if you are proving faithful, God gives you a higher level of ministry. Because we are faithful in a little thing, be in charge of 10 cities. We read that yesterday. It's still the Lord's work. Christians should give. The reason why we don't give is because we are afraid. We don't understand. The man whose land produced abundantly, he didn't get the point behind these things. He thought God gave it to him so he can eat. When God gives you excessively, there is a reason for it. So every Christian should give. There's a popular teaching in Christianity that a tithe of your income belongs to God. Let me give you Bible teaching. 100% of your income belongs to God. Did you hear what I said? It is not 10% that belongs to God. It's 100. For you to even be able to eat from it, you should be thanking God. I tell people that my food is holy. He said, what do you mean your food is holy? Because I buy it with God's money. So anything I eat is a priestly offering. Do you understand my point? It is God's money I use to buy the food. It is never my money. There's a way I arrange my ministry currently. I can't go into this about it. It is because I realize that if money comes into the ministry, it is God sending money. If my employer pays me, it is God sending me money also. Are you getting my point? For that reason, I am content with what my employers pay me. I don't need Kingdom World Ministries to pay me. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you are working there too, they should pay you. No. The fact is that it's convenient for us, our arrangement right now, that I should get most of my money from where I practice, work in the teaching hospital. Nothing wrong with if Kingdom World pays me. Are you getting my point? Nothing wrong with it. I'm just trying to emphasize that I realize that all of them is God. For that reason, it is easier for me. Our current level of management and administration is easier for me to say, okay, my regular income comes from the other place. It's all God's money. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Every single thing you have belongs to God. That is why, please read my book, How to Work for God. I explain there how your money should be serving God. You're a Christian, you go to a church, you should sit down and say, how much should I use to support this church on a regular basis? And don't wait for somebody to come and beg you. Once the thing comes up, take your portion and drop. That is, once your salary comes in, cut it and give the church its portion. Like I said earlier, for those of us who have parents, you go to your parents on a regular basis and give them their portion. You say, but my father is rich. Does it matter? The son honors the poor father. Is that what the Bible says? You use wisdom. It didn't say the son honors the poor father. The son honors what? His father. As you are earning, you honor your parents regularly. You help the poor. You have a cousin, a nephew, a niece who cannot go further in education because of poverty on the side of their parents. That's what the Bible calls the widow of your household. I don't have time to explain it. We don't have all the time. A Christian looks at that and cracks the money. That's why I said, if you think I've tithed, God will bless me. You are joking. Because the amount of things you have not done is plenty. On a regular income, average income in Nigeria of today, this is my own take, all right? If you really serve God properly with your money, half of the money on a regular basis don't go. By the time you give to your church, give to the people who are ministering to you in church, by the time you give to the poor around you, by the time you honor your parents, by the time you help people, every time you hear that orphanage, go and go there, dash them something Christmas. By the time you do all of that, my brothers, my sisters, you will discover that this your money is not your own alone. Do it for a year, you'll get used to it. Every Christian should do these things. Having said that, he said, what about those that have the giving ministry? Those ones are different. Let me tell you how giving ministry people are. Those who have the ministry of giving, that's their ministry. There are two sides to them. The first side, I'll talk about the second. The second side is that God eventually gives them a lot of money. A lot. When all their classmates are earning 100,000 naira a month, they earn a million. Most people don't realize what they now do. They now start traveling all over the world, buying expensive houses, expensive cars. It's foolishness. Once you are earning much more than average, you have the ministry of giving. You do. God never called any of his children to chop life more than average. Never. Once in a society, in a church, every day, not only you, they chop heavy. You will go to a restaurant on Sunday after service, blow 50,000 naira. Just know you are not serving God. When an average income person in that church is not eating that, is not getting that amount in a month, you are not serving. You can't be eating 50,000 naira in a restaurant on Sunday because you think you are rich. No, you are not rich. You are foolish. Be wise as serpents. No matter how much you earn, your lifestyle should be average. It shouldn't be extravagant. No matter how much you earn, you have to temper your head down so that you don't just stand out like a sore thumb. They'll be shouting, Babake, that man is rich. Once everybody is pointing out to you, thinking you are rich because of how much you are chopping, how much you are shining, how much you are blowing money all over the place, you have missed the will of God for your life. Spend that money to develop so that everybody else can become rich. That's what I call the giving ministry. But that's the second side to the givers. The first side to givers is this. I told you something. I noticed that I just like to teach. The thing used to flow out of me naturally. Then givers are slightly different. The same way I think of teaching, this is how they reason. They come to this kind of program now. All they are thinking of is, now wow, how much is it costing? The man may not be rich. Are you getting my point? He may not even be rich yet. But what is coming to his mind is that, how much is it costing? Are you sure this kind of thing won't cost a lot of money? Hey, I wish I had money. All he has is 10,000. He checks. This 500 naira can carry me back home. He comes and gives 9,500. Are you getting my point? Why? He's not thinking of what proportion have I given. He's thinking that if only I had money, I would pay for this whole program. They come to church and say, our church, the roof is not good again. They say, hey, now, wow. How can Christians gather and the roof is not good? Hey, I only wish I had money. All the money he has is 50,000 naira. He was planning to buy a new bed and new mattress. So he decides that this is my mattress. I can use it for another 6 months. So he takes the 50,000 naira and drops inside the offering basket, thinking that, now, wow, this roof, how can Christians gather and the roof is like this? Are you getting my point? He seems to carry financial troubles on his head. He has a ministry of what? Giving. As he's proving faithful, God starts pouring money into his hands. So one day he comes for a program like this. He said, well, it shouldn't be more than 2 million naira. He drops the 2 million naira check and goes away. He's not checking another thing. He just dropped the 2 million naira check and goes away. He's not asking to be recognized. His own is like, this kind of program, it should happen more frequently. He comes and says, sir, when else are you doing this thing? Please, if there's any money needed, let me know. This is the interesting part. He does not necessarily have more than other people. It is just that this is his priority. You will see this boy give a check for 2 million naira. You assume that, man, if you get to his house, it will be big. Only for you to get to his house, he rented a flat somewhere. His car, that money, they pushed it. Is this your car? Yes, sir. We are believing God for a new one. And you are looking at the check he just gave you. That if this boy has spent this 2 million naira, this car wouldn't be like this. But you see, necessity is laid upon him. There is a pressure in his soul to give that money. He will never be content to driving a good car when he hasn't solved some projects. He is a man that has the ministry of what? Giving. Anytime they mention problems near him, he's so concerned about solving it. Let me say something to you. Many of us, those things come to our minds. But you know what we do? We fight it off. Say, I would have loved to help, but you know, at this age in life, you shouldn't be paying rent anymore. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Instead of exercising ourselves in that calling, what we do is that we kill the spirit. That's why Paul said to them, I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, quench not the spirit. It is possible to quench the spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking something to you that this is what I want you to do. But you don't do it because you have the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. They are in your mind. They are choking the word so it becomes unfruitful. Even though the Holy Spirit is speaking, but what do you find? You find out that you are quenching the spirit. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So find verse 19. So you find that people are quenching that thing comes to their heart. Why? Because the world has told them that you need to be personally rich. But we have already established that worldly riches is not our drive. Listen, it is based upon this understanding that I prayed my prayer. Because God says, send the Lord of the harvest. I pray the Lord of the harvest that he will do what? Send laborers into his harvest. I said, God, you are the one that sent me to do the work I'm doing. That you will send me people that give. Are you getting my point? And that's why I don't beg for money to do ministry. I have prayed my prayer. I said, Lord, send me people that give. So that if I say to them that our broadcast for next year is going to cost 15 million naira, 12 of them maximum will tax themselves. They may not even know each other. One man will just come and drop 5 million, and that will drop 5 million, and that will drop 8 million. They just drop it at the end of the day. Every other person will contribute 5. 45 has been solved by just 12 people. I don't need more than 12. What God does to such people, just like God gives me an anointing and an unction to preach, he also pours grace to make money into their lives. Sometimes preachers, we mix it up. When we want to encourage Christians to give, we now start saying, well, this brother gave 50,000. God gave him back 500. God never gives anybody back anything. Never. What he does is to give us the ability to do more. Did you hear what I said? If you are faithful in little, he said, be in charge. The man was faithful, the woman was faithful in giving 5,000. God said, be in charge of 50 million. The man was faithful in that. God said, be in charge of 5 billion. Many people we envy today, it is because they are in charge of bigger things. Let me tell you something. When it comes to wealth, the way we calculate in the world, those so-called very rich people, they never aspired for that degree of wealth. But you get to a point in your life of your function. As you are functioning and functioning, God begins to pour more grace because you are proving faithful. I hope you are getting my point. That is the giving ministry which I want to begin to teach believers. The church needs to emphasize it. We have done this general, everybody must give. You know, some churches use all kinds of methods to collect money. All kinds of methods. And I think we pastors should stop. The method we need to get money for ministry is to teach the truth and pray for the people. Once you do those two things, the church will have so much money. They will be begging like Moses. Please, brethren, our budget for this year was 8 million naira. By June, the money was already 10 million. Please, can you keep the money till next year? Don't cause us confusion. You know, that's what happened to Moses. People brought an offering. They said, handling the offering is a problem. So please, it will happen. You have to tell people, Brendan, please. I thank you, but you are causing the people in church headache. They don't know how to handle the money you are bringing. So please, no more offering from this year till December. We'll start again. Let's spend the one that you have given now. Go and invest in your businesses. May God increase you. Please don't disturb us again with money for the next 6 months. And you know, that's when you know Brendan can start grumbling. Say, I don't know what's going on in this church. Pastor doesn't even want us to give again. What's happened to our clergymen? They should look for more ministries to do. They should open more churches. We have, God has blessed us. We have to give. You now call them and say, brethren, please don't be angry. God will still bless you. Your offerings are received, but please, just hold it. Okay. By November, you can start again. Okay, we are starting a new parish somewhere. When we start that time, and then, okay, when we want to upgrade the bishop's quarters, all right, but brethren, for now, they will now grudgingly say, okay, we have heard. So what do we do? Just go back and do your businesses. That time, we'll be able to preach the truth. No politician will come and deceive us again. When they come to church, he says, sit down there. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm telling you. Then everybody will respond. When they come to church, they say, this is Christian. He never beg for anything. Say yes. But like somebody said, he said, all right, we are taking our tithes right now. If you know you stole money, don't put anything inside. If you are not sure the money is clean, don't put it inside. You know, that's when we can say such things. The people will come to church and they really fear God. As we are preaching this gospel of righteousness and holiness, we also have to preach the truth in some other areas so that everything will be easy to do. Let me say to you, if you have that giving ministry, it is time to arise and exercise your gift. Don't wait for anybody to beg me. You didn't beg you. You did not beg me before I came here to preach, did you? There was no preacher that came to me and said, Banky, fulfill your ministry. Make sure you preach. No. Our brother just called me and said, please, Banky, will you be able to come to Owerri on some time? And I said, yes, sir. Nothing is booked for that time. And I came. In the same manner, you should also fulfill your ministry. You should walk up to somebody like him and say, sir, the next program, how much is it going to cost us? He gives you an estimate. He says, I should be able to do all of that, but let me not do everything, lest I deprive the other people their own opportunities to serve God. I'll just do 90%. And listen to me, God that called into such a ministry will give you the resources in the name of Jesus Christ. The first thing it starts with is a heart attitude towards it. Then you start in your little level. One of our brothers one day, he called me and said that he wanted to send the ministry money. And for certain reasons, I was expecting 40,000 naira. Well, the reason is because he had asked me a question. In fact, he told me before, how much does this cost you? I said, 40,000 naira. I said, that was our website at that time. He said, I should be able to handle that. So he called me and said, please, let me have the ministry account number. So I sent it to him. Then he called me later. I said, have you seen the money? I said, no, sorry, I haven't. I have not had time to check. He said, okay, let me just tell you. It's 1 million naira. I said, what did you say? He says, 1 million naira, sir. I was expecting 40,000. He gave me what? 1 million. The following year, I did the same thing and said, sir, 200,000 naira is for you. That is, you send another money added. Now, you know I'm telling his story? Because the first time we met, I went to do a program in their school. I know tracks, those tracks, I used to share them out free of charge. It used to cost us 3 naira and the average 1. He shared them out free of charge. He said when he first received the tracts, he was a poor student who needed a scholarship to stay in school. He looked at the tracts and said, I'm sure this is costing this man some money. That everybody was saying, thank you. He was looking at the tract, looking at the paper and said, this paper is costing money. Do you get my point? Even when he did not have, God dropped the spirit inside him so that when God raised him up to that level, he took the money and said, bam, take. And you know, I know it was a call of God because that time our rent was due on Monday or so and the ministry didn't have money. And I remember I was praying, and the Lord, I believe it was the Spirit of God, said something to me. If I send the money to you by weekend, what will you feel like? I said, I will feel very bad for worrying. I remember I was on my staircase. I said, in that case, stop worrying. I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. Then the following day or so was when he called me. He said, have you seen the money? I said, no, I have not checked. He said, it's 1 million naira. And all the rent we were paying, 200 and something thousand. Even though I had believed God that I will never beg for money to do ministry, people like him make it easier not to beg for money. Are you getting my point?
I made my determination long before I knew anybody. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. But they make it easier. And I'm saying that the church of God needs to develop that ministry. We beg too much. It upsets me. Everywhere you go, you know, praise the Lord, offering time, blessing time. There are statements you don't hear from my mouth. After all, money is not even an offering, I hope you know. Offerings are living things or produce of the field in the Old Testament. But for us now, our offerings are the blood of Jesus, number one. Number two, our praises from our hearts. And number three, our life of the life we live in service of God. And so this money we give is just a sign of our what? Faithfulness. It's not a special blessing time, it's a faithfulness time. That's why King Naomi said, I don't have time for offering time. If you want to give money, the account number is there. Find a way to the bank. If it's a check, ask them for how to write it. But if it's by force, you must bring cash. I'm serious, the basket is near the door, so when you are going, drop it. If you don't want to drop, it's your personal problem. It doesn't worry me one bit. We will have money. I'm just asking you to do the one that God has sent you to do. And listen, our God, I like one thing Archbishop Benson that also used to say, our God is not a poor God. If you believe that, say amen. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. Say amen, please.
Amen.
God will give you wisdom to make you productive in life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will give you the giving spirit so you will be able to be faithful in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will walk in a manner that is pleasing to God in Jesus' name. The fruit of your labors will be used to serve God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will be rich indeed. I say you'll be rich indeed.
Amen.
In fact, if you're already rich, say amen.
Amen.
You know, wealth is first of all a matter of what? Faith. Those who are rich are those who have faith and are walking in a manner that's pleasing to God. He said at the church in Smyrna, in that Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, he said, I know of your poverty. He said, but indeed you are rich. You're not poor, you are rich. If you are rich here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If God has blessed you in Christ Jesus, give me an amen.
Amen.
Listen to the word of God. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said earlier, every Christian should be a giver. Every Christian. But then I also said, there are those that their job in the body of Christ is to just give money. Other people are crying and say, we have not yet gone for evangelism. Their own is that, how much is evangelism? People are saying that, yes, this man knows how to preach. Their own is that, how much does he need to come and preach? That's what they are just thinking. If you are here this morning, I want to pray a prayer for you. That God will give you the grace to fulfill that your ministry in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will start at the level you are in right now. Wherever it is you are walking, I mean your ministry, your church, wherever you are serving, wherever God has opened the door for you, you will go there and start. The same way the preacher is effective in preaching, you will be effective in giving.
Amen.
You will not see it as a matter of I'm sowing a seed. No, it's a matter of I'm doing my work for God. These are the kinds of people. They will have given out a car before they own one. Because they know that their lives, that is their own assignment. The grace to have the resources to do it, receive it this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No longer will you quench that spirit. Sometimes what quenches the spirit? The expectations of people. When you are supposed to be doing a work, they say, hey, take care of yourself first. You will not fall for that temptation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus taught us to pray. He said, no, the prayers of Jesus are real. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the doing of evil. That's what he was saying. Therefore, I pray for you this morning that you will not be led into temptation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the Lord will deliver you from disobedience in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, I say, the Lord will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. I say once again, You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you are bound to every good work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord says to you, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As I leave you this morning, I pray for you that as you depart from here, the grace to plant your seed will come upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go out and prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go out and be fruitful in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go out and multiply in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go out and give God glory for your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for your word.